This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles, Sports by the Book, will join us. The selections are out. We will go over everything. Sleepers, best bets, what the committee did right, what the committee did wrong, and excited to talk to Jeff as always, and I will just start. Usually I am not one to just come on here, and it's the easiest thing to do to just kill the committee. They have so many decisions to make in terms of not only what teams to include, but what seeds to put them at, what line to put them. There's hundreds of decisions with these teams, but to me, this is one of the weaker performances by the committee in a long, long time. And I'll just start with the obvious one. To me, North Carolina, who was 5-1 minutes before these brackets were announced, 5-1 to get in. The fact that they got in, and some of the controversial ones, Xavier and Texas both get in. They play in a play-in scenario Tuesday night with Xavier laying 2.5. Indiana gets left out. They were a heavy, heavy favorite to make the tournament, and I guess FanDuel had these lines. I know FanDuel had these lines. Get Betterman Connecticut, but I saw them circulating. Indiana was a minus 355, minus 400 favorite to make it. They are out. West Virginia, I don't even think anyone had a line because every bracket, I saw a stat, like 111 brackets, bracket projection services all had West Virginia in. They are out. But to me, the story is North Carolina. How you put this team with one quad one win in the tournament? I mean, let's go over their wins. They beat Syracuse, NC State, Virginia, Florida State, Virginia Tech, NC State again. They split with Pitt. They beat LaSalle. I mean, they played a tough non-conference. Okay, they beat UCLA. That's their one good win. Campbell, they lost to Louisville, beat Notre Dame, beat SMU, beat NC State again, beat Cal, Stanford, I mean, Boston College. This schedule, their wins are an absolute joke. And you can talk about net rating and all this stuff. I mean, they put them in because North Carolina's a draw. North Carolina is going to get ratings, and they're a brand. And these guys, it's they're all in bed with each other where they're going to take care of their own. If it was the same sort of team, if it was UC San Diego with this resume, UC San Diego is not getting in. The boys, he's not getting in. They take care of the big boys, and the big boys get in here. North Carolina is a 3.5-point favorite to San Diego State. So, well, I know the numbers. Like, I mean, you can split hairs. Did San Diego State belong in? Could you put Boise in? Could you put West Virginia, Indiana? I actually like Indiana's resume more than North Carolina. Four quad one wins for Indiana, and no quad three losses. And meanwhile, UNC only had one quad four win, and they had a quad three loss. So, I thought the committee just did a terrible job putting North Carolina in. And you could see, they played Duke close. First of all, they were down 25 or so in the second half to Duke on Friday night. And Duke is down two of its starters, including the number one player in the country, the number one pick in the draft, and Flag. And then, Duke fell asleep at the wheel. And you know what? If North Carolina had won that game, you give them credit, but they didn't. They lost the game, and it's still a game they trailed by 25. So I'm shocked. I'm not shocked, but I think that's a terrible job to put Carolina in. The one that jumps out to me, and I know everyone's going to pick it, doesn't mean it's going to be wrong. And you're going to hear that a lot of people, you're going to hear both things. You're going to hear a lot of people picking UC San Diego over Michigan, and then you're going to hear a bunch of people saying, well, that's the trendy pick, so it won't happen. I actually like UC San Diego. Now, I know it's not an ideal matchup, the size of Michigan, but Michigan, and give them credit, they had a nice run here, a really good run to win the Big Ten tournament, and they were one of the few long shots to come through. They were 16-1 to win the Big Ten at FanDuel, and they won. They beat Wisconsin. The last couple minutes took forever with that game Sunday. We did not have a lot of, not a lot of bid stealers. The VCUs, the Drakes, the UC San Diegos, these things sort of sorted themselves out where we didn't have to sit here and debate UC San Diego or VCU or Drake, because all these one seeds, mid-majors that we were going to kind of be on the bubble, they all found their way in via the automatic bid with winning the tournament. But Michigan, who had a nice run here in the Big Ten tournament, they've got a lot of size. You worry about that from UC San Diego's perspective, but UC San Diego can really defend. And Michigan, it wasn't until the other day, it wasn't until I think Friday, they'd gone two full months without beating anybody by 4 points. A lot of their success is close wins. I know May's a good coach, and they got the 2 7-footers. Wolf is an interesting player at point forward, the Yale transfer. But I'm going to take UC San Diego. I actually like them plus the 3.5. Some other storylines here. UConn gets the 8-9 matchup. They get Oklahoma. I'm surprised Oklahoma got a 9. They're about a 4-point favorite over Oklahoma. Maybe you win there, and I lean towards them winning that game, although I don't trust them at all. And I haven't really – but by the time we do the Wednesday show, I've had a chance to really dive into these matchups, the X's and O's, how they match up with each other. Just kind of reacting to the bracket. At first glance, they'll probably beat Oklahoma. That's a death trap to though to send them against Florida. They are not beating Florida. I don't even think they'll be competitive against Florida in the next round. Florida is an absolute machine right now. They ran through the SEC tournament. They blew Alabama out. Tennessee was with them for part of the game, but they win that game by double digits or so. So to me, at most, UConn's winning the game. Maybe they can hang with Florida with a half, but to me, Florida is a buzzsaw right now, and UConn, as we saw Friday night, in a very home-friendly environment against the Creighton team coming off double overtime. UConn is just not the same team as we've talked about, for most of the year. And I don't buy this idea that you flip the calendar to March and all of their flaws go away. Georgia Gonzaga is an interesting one. Gonzaga laying 5.5 in the 8-9 game, which would set up a 1-8 matchup of Houston versus Gonzaga in the second round. That's an interesting one. Patino possibly facing Calipari in the 2-10 round, in the 2-10 matchup in the second round. St. John's gets a 2 seed after winning the Big East. Calipari, I was wondering for a second if they were actually going to leave Arkansas out because they were the one of the last at largest to be announced. And you start to do the math, well, Texas is in, Xavier's in. We know North Carolina and San Diego State are in. Are they actually going to leave Arkansas out? But they didn't. They finally pop up at the 10 on the 10 line. So I'm sure if you're Calipari and you're Arkansas, you are very nervous about that. That was a very nervous few minutes, like looking around, like, man, did that loss to Ole Miss cost us a bit? It didn't. So those two coaches can't stand each other. A couple throwbacks, Calipari and Patino, back from really the UMass, and I know it was when they go way back is the bottom line. I'm trying to think if it was the UMass Kentucky connection. I mean, this is way back to the 90s where these two are very familiar with each other. Similar path too. Both went to the NBA, tried it, didn't have success. Both had a ton of success in college, and both guys, have gone on the record like not being able to stand the other one. So exciting! It's the best day, the best hour really of sports all year is when you finally get that bracket. You can break all this stuff down. You can complain about who's in, who's out. I love it. It's really the best. Some interesting matchups as you look around here. Kentucky, Troy doesn't do much for me. Memphis versus Colorado State is a fascinating one. A 12 seed, a 2.5 point favorite over Memphis. Grand Canyon, who won a game last year, 11.5 point dog to Maryland. But the only bet I like so far, the only bets I like so far, UC San Diego, I like them plus the 3.5. I'll be interested to see where these lines close. It's not unusual. You get a, 2, 3 point line movement. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where Michigan's laying like only one or it's a pick 'em. But UC San Diego is going to be trendy. I'll be fascinated to see where that line goes. Another one that jumps out in terms of a theme, Auburn, they get the number one overall seed. They lost three out of the last four. You can debate whether that should be merited or not, worthy of number one seed, but they did not get any favors. They get Louisville possibly in the second round, the winner of Louisville Creighton in the 8-9. Louisville's criminally underseeded in the eight, criminally underseeded. That was a terrible job by the committee. And that game, that's in Lexington, that's in Kentucky. So that's gonna be basically a home game for Louisville. So Auburn in the second round, not only do you have to play an 8 seed that's really underrated, but you have to play them on their own turf. So a bad break for Auburn, a team that has not played well here down the stretch, really since they clinched the SEC title. They lost to A&M. They lost another game to Bama. That was a home game. They lost to Bama. Then they split the two games in the SEC. They won a close game against Ole Miss where they were 12 and a half, 13 point favorites. They didn't cover that game, came down to the wire. And then they were just upset by Tennessee in the SEC semi. So really, I think this was the worst job the committee has done in a really, really long time to put North Carolina in this tournament. Louisville is an eight, is one that jumps out to me. Giving Auburn a 1 seed, a really tough break in that region. I thought that jumped out to me. But as far as picks now, UC San Diego plus 3.5 is the one that jumps out. And I'll get to talk to Jeff here in a minute and see what he's think he would see what he thinks about all these, and we'll uncover some bets. By the time we do this Wednesday, I will have plenty of bets. It's funny, we're all gonna kill UNC for getting in this tournament, and that's the kind of team they turn around and they win a couple games just to make everyone look stupid. But I would not be looking to lay 3.5 with NC. I wish they drew somebody other than San Diego State in this match because I don't like the San Diego State team. And again, you could have argued San Diego State really didn't belong in. So a lot to digest, a lot to get through. I thought CBS did a fantastic job with the Gumbel tribute at the beginning. That was it was definitely different not having him on, although I think last year he was out too, and that was when he was starting to get sick. But he's just been such a mainstay, such a fixture in this tournament. I mean, just associate the tournament, the updates, Selection Sunday with Gumbel. So to not have him was definitely a bummer. CBS did a really, really good job tributing him. But we'll talk to Jeff Parles coming up. We will see what he's think, see what he thinks, get his thoughts on the committee, the brackets. And again, when we do this show Wednesday, first of all, when we do the show Wednesday, somehow baseball season will have started, which, look, I'm about as on top of this as everyone. And baseball does such a bad job with this. Speaking of people who do bad jobs, Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the morning, really. Dodgers and Cubs, Tuesday, 6 o'clock in the morning in Japan or whatever. Ugh, can't make it up. That drives me crazy. No juice for opening day. Then you have to wait another week or two, and then you have the real opening day. So, all right, we'll live with it. It's not the first time we had it. But when we do our Wednesday show, we will have plenty of picks, brackets, give you my final four. Excited, excited. Best time of the year. Can't wait for it. We'll talk to Jeff Parles. That is next. This is a Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back and get some sports by the book. It's our buddy. He joins us again. It is Jeff Parles. Jeff, what a night. Let's just I'll give you the floor. A letter grade here for the committee, and you can air your grievances as you see fit. How's it going?
I'm going to be honest with you, Will. First off, it's going great. This is always one of the best days of the entire sports calendar to see where everyone goes. What are we getting? And I think with the way that I have reacted in the past, I think you may be surprised on this. If the committee did not put North Carolina in and put West Virginia in, they would get an A solid A. Because other than, yeah, look, there's some small quibbles with some seedings. There's some Duke has a cakewalk to the Elite Eight, shocker. But other than that, they have created a very fun bracket this go around, Will. The bottom of the bracket, the West and the Midwest are both extraordinarily fun regions. There are a lot of fun 12-5, 13-4s, 11-6 matchups. But putting North Carolina in is inexplicable. They beat no one. The ACC stunk. When Louisville was announced as an 8 seed right out of the gate, I'm like, oh my God, they actually left North Carolina out. They did it. They did the right thing. And they're not even 3 seed leads later, North Carolina pops up. I was like, what the hell are we doing, guys? But because of how egregious UNC being in is, I'm docking them to a B plus. That's how bad at UNC being in is. West Virginia really got hosed. Yeah, they're not that good. Sure, we're quibbling. None of these teams that are in the playing game are winning the national championship. But there's a big difference in Ole Miss's opponent. West Virginia, I would have given a real shot to beat Ole Miss. Yeah, Carolina's talented enough, but they haven't shown you anything to possibly beat them. And the Mountain West stinks again. So I give them a B plus. They've really created a fun bracket, but North Carolina getting in, that is not quite Virginia bad last year, but it's pretty damn close.
Ooh, I'm trying to think because I didn't want any part of Virginia in the tournament last year, but I actually think this is worse. I think it's that egregious that to me kind of overshadows everything else. And I usually give them a little leeway because, like you said, there's like hundreds of little decisions, mini decisions, who to put in, what seed line, regions, all of that. But man, the fact that they put in UNC is just such a turnoff. And that being said, do you give them a pass for Louisville at an 8, and then you make Auburn the 1 seed overall, have to play them in Lexington?
I'll say this. I'll say this, Will. It is there were some intricacies in this bracket that I didn't love. And it all actually comes down to the 8-9 line. And you just mentioned one of them. This is a brutal draw if Louisville gets by Creighton for Auburn. They're playing a road game. As the number one overall seed, they're playing a road game. Like I've been in Rupp Arena when Louisville was there in the tournament. I was there in 2013. That was a Louisville home game, pure Louisville home game. And that will not be easy for Auburn. Houston, if Gonzaga holds serve against Georgia, I mean, KenPom might make that game 1 point. Like that is a, again, I expect Houston to beat Gonzaga. This Gonzaga team, I think KenPom has them extraordinarily overrated. And I think the committee actually got Gonzaga about right. I think they probably should have been, them and St. Mary's should have been flipped. I know St. Mary's beat them twice in a regular season, but Gonzaga is better than St. Mary's is. They should have flipped those two, but whatever. And then again, I don't think UConn has it in them. But if you're Florida, I don't love the idea of having to play UConn in round two. I love that idea. Even though I wouldn't be shocked if UConn right out of the gate just gets beat by Oklahoma. I wouldn't be stunned if that happens. But I don't love that. And then Duke got, and this always happens, we know this, Duke got a ridiculously easy run to the Elite Eight. Now, assuming they don't blow it, that Elite Eight game is going to be an extraordinarily difficult task, assuming Alabama gets through. And even if it's Wisconsin or BYU, that's not going to be an easy game for Duke. But again, all in all, I think the committee did well. Those are my biggest intricacy issues. Like the draws for the one seed should be a little bit better than they were. But you know what? When there's really no difference between the five seeds and the nine seeds this year, you can get stuff like this, Will.
Yeah, and that UConn-Oklahoma game is interesting. UConn laying 4.5. That's one game where if you bet it, you're going to feel like an idiot either way if you lose. Because if you go against UConn, I say, how the hell did I go against UConn? Obviously, they're going to turn it up in March. I'm betting
it's
against
Mahomes theory, man.
Why would I do it? Exactly. It's the same thing as Mahomes. And if UConn loses, you're going to say the same thing. You say, man, all the signs were there for UConn to lose. That's one where you're going to be kicking yourself either way if you get it wrong.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet that game. I'm just telling you that right now because – I've kind of ragged on Oklahoma all year, but then I look up and I bet them in all their games in the SEC tournament. And it's like, all right, what the hell happened here? But look, that is, from a betting perspective, I think that might be the hardest of them all, to be honest with you, Will. I mean, there are a lot of these games. And again, these numbers are pretty fresh, obviously. That is a hard one. Louisville Creighton, even though you mentioned it, like Louisville will have a little bit of a home court. Like that's a brutal draw for both of those teams. Like
it's a hell of a game.
Yeah, it's a great 8-9 game to kick off. That kicks off the tournament on Thursday afternoon. That is a great, great game. That if you told me like before we saw the bracket, like, hey, Louisville and Creighton are going to play each other. I'm like, wow, they both pulled an upset in round two and they're playing in the Sweet 16. Like there's no way I would have thought that would have been a 7-10. Well.
What else do you like here in terms of the point spreads? Anything jump out to you to me? I know it's going to be trendy, but Michigan played 3 games in 3 days. Now they're going to play in altitude in Colorado. I'll take the points with UC San Diego. Grand Canyon looks a little high at 11.5 against Maryland. I think that's a lot of points. How about you? Anything here you like in terms of the numbers?
All right, I'm going to go game by game here real quick, Will, because, again, these numbers are super, super fresh. And I'm just going to tell you what stands out to me as I look at all these right now. High Point is getting too many points.
I agree.
I think High Point is alive to win that game. I don't think Purdue's really any good. Kansas and Arkansas, I know I mentioned the other game. Kansas and Arkansas is the most unbettable game in this tournament. It's also one of the games I'm most intrigued to see what the hell happens because this is the worst team Sal's ever had there. Calipari is a total dope in the tournament now. Like, anything is in play in that game. St. John's is too small of a favorite against Omaha. They'll destroy Omaha. Omaha won't score in that game. I want to fade the Mountain West, but UCLA has been so awful outside of the western portion of the country this year. But I don't think Utah State's any good. I think that's light at 4.5. Boy, we're seeing some old school numbers on that Houston SIUE game. I don't remember the last time we saw 29 in a 116, right? Been a while for that, but I'm not touching that. Here's another trending one. Mizzou's going to beat Drake, and they're going to cover the game against Drake. Well, everyone is going to be on Drake in this game, but Mizzou is just more talented, and the athleticism difference is gigantic here in this game. I like Mizzou. I am waiting because that number is going to – they're going to bet Drake. Everyone's going to bet Drake, but I like Mizzou to win that game. If you can get 16 with Wilmington, I would do that against Texas Tech. You mentioned UC San Diego already. They're winning outright. That number is so suspiciously low, Will, that, again, Michigan just won the Big Ten. I don't think they're that good. They just win close games. That's just what they do. And at some point, you're going to have reversion to the mean on that. And UC San Diego, the only concern in that game, Golden and Wolf are huge guys, obviously. And UC San Diego runs a rotation that's all set 6'7" and shorter. So there's a little bit of a concern there, but UC San Diego, right away. That's going to be a blow-up one. Yale's going to beat A&M outright also. So A&M can't shoot. If Yale does a reasonable job of keeping them off the glass, Yale will win. Well, what are your thoughts on VCU-BYU? Because when I saw that matchup pop up, I'm like, man, BYU got hosed with that draw. Hottest team in the country before Houston beat them on Friday night. And now you get to draw a legitimately good VCU team that I think should have been in the tournament, even if they didn't beat George Mason. That is a brutal one for BYU, Will.
It's a typical committee where you take two sort of powerhouse mid-major teams, and you can't really call BYU mid-major.
Well, BYU's in the Big 12 now.
Yeah, but this is, you know, the same idea where these two teams are not great for ratings. You kind of, you know, it's not the Dukes of the world. You just have them knock off one or the other, and they both get a rough draw. So these are two teams I wanted to play on. So to me, it's kind of a stay away. That's a really high level round. That's a really high level round one game.
That is a great, again, the committee put together some really intriguing matchups here. Like six of these 6-11, well, again, the 6-11 game that is in the not involving the power conference teams. Like these are some really fun game. And on Friday, I mean, just eyeballing it right now, Lipscomb's too big of a dog against Iowa State, especially without Gilbert. Take the 14 if you can get it. That Cleveland, man, that Cleveland site, those numbers are really tight. I wouldn't touch any of those. Even though I would imagine Marquette should be able to handle New Mexico and win by more than four, right? I would imagine so. Akron getting too many points against Arizona. All right, well, Memphis, now there's injury concerns on the Memphis end, but I don't think Memphis should be an underdog against Colorado State. Like,
that is a coaching mismatch, though.
I know it is.
If you switch coaches, Memphis beats them by 15 points, but man, the coaching.
I know. By the way, did you like Hunter's comment after the Tulane Memphis game where he said that was the best game that Penny Hardaway's ever coached?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes, which is one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen. But boy, wow. I know there's injuries, but wow, that's jarring. Like, well, the last 12 favorite over a five, remember, was Middle Tennessee the year after they beat Michigan State. And they drew Minnesota, and they kicked the crap out of Minnesota. I don't know if you remember that game or not. But Middle Tennessee was a 12 when they should have been like a 7. And they won by like 15 as a short dog. Wow, I'm stunned by that, Will. I really am, that Colorado State is favored in that game, even though I think they probably do win. That's the most jarring one, that Colorado State-Memphis line. Like, I get it, injury concerns on Memphis end, but man, that Memphis team is way more talented than Colorado State is, even with the injury concerns.
Yeah, and I thought UAB was going to beat them today, especially, you know, they were up 3 at half, up 5 towards the end of the first half. I kind of thought that UAB was going to get them, but that was not the case. I want to get your thoughts on these first four matchups, but first, this just jumps out to me, and we're jumping ahead. But a round two matchup, if it's the case, of St. Mary's versus Bama. Can St. Mary's slow them down enough to muck it up and play their style and keep that game in the 50s or 60s and win that game?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. There's just a massive athleticism gap on that. And I understand that, like, Gonzaga and St. Mary's, it's a big athleticism gap there. But those guys play each other every freaking year. Like, they're used to it. Like, Bennett and Few know what the other guy's already going to do. I don't know. I don't see that, Will. I mean, St. Mary's is no gimme to get out of round one. I mean, that was not an easy draw for them right out of the gate in round one for St. Mary's there, Will.
All right, the first four games, and we will have a baseball game in the books by then, which is the craziest thing ever. The Dodgers will be 1-0 probably.
Sure.
I don't know. Take any of these. Bama State laying 3.5 to St. Francis. I feel like this game is usually like Texas A&M Corpus Christi versus Northwestern State.
Well, I don't say this, and I don't think I'm overreacting here, because look, the playing 16s are always bad. Alabama State St. Francis, I think, is the worst ever, like, based off the quality of these teams. These teams are horrific, horrific, which leads me to think that the under is probably good there. Again, I'd probably take first half under instead of full game. Those teams are awful, Will. Like, truly awful teams.
No disagreement. So how about NC laying the 3.5 to San Diego State, North Carolina, San Diego State? Is it one of these weird things where we all kill Carolina for being in the tournament and they hear for a few days here that they didn't belong in, then they go out and they win by 15 to shut everybody up?
Yeah, I think that's 100% what happens
Yeah.
here, actually, where it's so egregious that they got, like, look, it happens every tournament, right? Like, one team that we scream about getting in the playing game, and then they win the playing game, and then they either win the first round game or play tight in the first round game. So Virginia basically was the only one who didn't do that, who obviously put together the worst performance I've ever seen in a tournament game by a non-BS team. So I would lean to Carolina on that one, Will.
One I like too, Xavier. Oh, it's up to 2.5 now. That's basically a home game playing right in their backyard, laying 2.5 now to Texas, depending on where you shop. I like Xavier in this spot. We agree, disagree, or no feel?
No feel. No
Okay.
feel. That is a big coaching mismatch, though. Miller is much better than Rodney Terry.
Agreed.
So that is a big coaching mismatch. By the way, I do like American University against Mount St. Mary's. AU knows how to play. They're well coached. I mean, they'll get slaughtered by Duke in the round of 64, but laying 2.5, I don't mind that on AU at all in that game against Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, and we didn't have a lot of upsets. It was a lot of chalk. I have to go back and look conference by conference, but it was a lot of one seeds. They avoided a lot of discussion. VCU won, Drake won, UC San Diego won. There was a Memphis one today. There were a lot of one seeds won. But Mount St. Mary's won that was a six seed. So that was certainly a curveball in the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah, look, that conference I thought was gonna, well, if Quinnipiac had won it, Quinnipiac or Merrimack had won it, I think they would have been the 16 seed, but not in Dayton. I think then SIUE would have gone there instead. But yeah, I mean Mount St. I mean that was one of the, like you said, that was one of the few brackets that didn't end up with a one or a two, basically. Like there were a lot of ones too, one, two, one, two, this go around. I'm a little bit surprised SIUE was actually ahead of American for that 16 seed, but you see what the market thinks of SIUE with that number against Houston.
Yeah, you mentioned Quinnipiac, and nobody probably cares about this, but that team is cursed. Never been to the tournament. They've been the one seed a bunch of times back when they were in the, I think, NEC, and then they're the one seed this year. Couldn't get out of the semi, so Quinnipiac is just cannot break through. But Bacora is a good coach. I was kind of rooting for them to get in.
Well, I will say this also, like, of the last few years, those 116 matchups, like UConn was 27.5 against Stetson
Stetson,
last
they
year.
killed him too, won by
And I mean,
40.
they destroyed him, but the two lined 116 games right now are pushing 30. Duke is going to be over 30 against the winner of Mount St. Mary's and American. And Auburn might be 40 against the winner of the other game. Like, it's been a while since we've seen these totally outlandish 116 spreads, which kind of tells you how good these elite teams are this year, Will. And you said it, this is a year where there was a lot of chalk in these conference tournaments as well.
Yeah, speaking of Auburn, I should bring them up. Lost three out of their last four. Is that something that's a concern? Is that just a little bit of senioritis? They got one eye in the tournament and they let down. Is there any concern for you in terms of Auburn here?
I mean, their draw is pretty damn good to at least make the Elite Eight. I mean, again, we talked about it. That Creighton-Louisville game, like, that will be a tricky round two game. But again, that pod, that Denver pod, that A&M, Yale, Michigan, UC San Diego, whoever comes out of that, Auburn should be able to handle with relative ease. I know A&M beat them, but Auburn was completely disinterested in that game. I see Auburn getting at least to the Elite Eight. And again, it's kind of what do you think about Michigan State? That's really all it comes down to for me. So, but I mean, Auburn's road is almost as easy as Duke's to get to the Elite Eight. It's just a matter of will they handle their business after that.
Any other games we didn't mention here? We got St. John's laying 18.5 to
Well, I
Omaha.
think that number is way too short.
You think
How the
so?
hell is Omaha going to score in that game, Will?
What's an Omaha team total now that you mention it? That's.
I mean, well, what do we add on that total, actually? That's the better question. Well, I mean, that's 148 in an 18 and a half. Like, I don't know.
63.5, 64, 64.5 is the consensus here
Yeah,
for
that's kind of a
Omaha.
little.
Omaha is going to score 65 points.
Probably not, but I would lay it with St. John's. The only concern in that game is Omaha will run with them. So this could be like a fast tempo game. That's the only concern there on that, Will. But I think I'd just lay the lumber with St. John's. I mean, they'll turn them over. They'll get points off the turnovers. It's just a matter of being like playing close to enough of a 40 to cover that big of a number. I'm surprised that number's not 22, honestly.
Anything else jump out to you? Tech laying 16.5. Baylor, Mississippi's a good 8-9 game with Baylor laying a point.
Yeah, I would take Baylor in that game. But, Will, I'll just say this. Just like I'm going through this, like it is like I think there's going to be upsets early. I really do. Like there always is, but there could be an inordinate amount of double-digit seeds winning a game or two. But when push comes to shove, and usually it works this way, I would be floored if there is a seed higher than a 3 that makes the Final Four this year. I just think the top of college basketball is so much better than everybody else this go around. Like, there's a big gap between my top 5 teams, which are the 4-1 seeds in Bama, and I guess I'll throw Tennessee and Michigan State in there as well. But there's just a big gap. I would be very surprised if the Final Four is not all 1s and 2s this go around. Will, I just would be really surprised at that. And the funny part of it is, the one team, and this will sound ridiculous, Gonzaga is the one team lower than a 3 that I actually think is live. Because if they beat Houston, if you look at the rest of that bracket, if they beat Houston, and I don't think they will, they get Clemson, who I have coming out of that pod because I don't trust Purdue at all. Gonzaga is more talented than Clemson is. Then on the bottom of the bracket, it would be more likely than not the winner of Tennessee and Kentucky. Those SEC teams beat the hell out of each other in the Sweet 16. That would, and again, I don't think this Gonzaga team's anywhere near as good as the teams few has had the last few years. But if they can upset Houston, that is the one larger seed that could be the fly in the ointment and say, oh, all right, we had 2-1 seeds, a 2 and an 8. That's the team I'd look at more so than anything, Will.
All right, you led me into it. Do you have a Final Four, a Final Four sketched out, a champion sketched out?
And it's hilarious that I just had the diatribe because I have the Houston Cougars winning the national championship. Well, I think it's their time. There's always a concern with the team that grinds and plays insanely slow like them. There's always the concern. We've seen it with them in the past. You score 49 points against that mediocre Villanova team in the Elite Eight. You get beat by Duke last year in a game where you can't score. We've seen it time and time again with this team. But here's the big difference this year, Will. They shoot the 3-ball well. They've never done that under Kelvin Sampson. And again, I think their toughest game in that region is legitimately the round of 32 if it's Gonzaga. I think they match up great with Tennessee. I think they match up great with Kentucky, who are the other threats in that one. They're much better than Clemson is, so I don't have to worry about that. And I have them beating Bama in the Final Four, Bama beating Duke in the Elite Eight. Bama beat Houston earlier in the year. Houston will exact revenge. And I have Houston beating Florida in a national championship game. Well, that's what I got. I have Michigan State coming out of the Auburn bracket because you got to find some sort of non-chalk, and that's the best I could do was 1-2, 1s and 2-2s here this go around. Well, but I have Houston over Florida in a national title game.
The stunner Thursday or Friday is what? And by stunner, I mean 14, 15, or 16.
Oh, I mentioned him earlier to take the points, but I'll go one step further.
Lipscomb?
The stunner is Lipscomb over Iowa State. That's the stunner. And I'll throw one more at you. I don't know. I don't think it will happen. But UNC Wilmington is really good. They are really good. That CAA bracket did break their way. I get that. But that team is really good and they're really well coached. I don't think it will happen because I think McCaslin's too good of a coach that let Texas Tech get upset. But I think Wilmington's going to have that game within two possessions with 3 minutes to go. And people will be like, whoa, can the Seahawks pull this thing off or not? But that's what I would look at. I'd look at, like I said, with Lipscomb, I'd look at UNC Wilmington. But the other thing, too, will I have 3-13 seeds advancing past round one?
Wow.
Three of them. The only one I don't have advancing is Grand Canyon, who, of course, advanced last year as a 12. Everyone else, I think Yale matches up great with A&M. If they just have to avoid getting massacred on the glass. That would be the way A&M holds serve. Purdue, I think, stinks. I don't think they're I'm flabbergasted Purdue got a 4 seed. Flabbergasted. I thought they should have been a 6 or a 7 seed. High Point is really good. Like, they are veteran. They can score the basketball, and they play good defense. That is a good basketball team. And anytime I can take points against Tommy Lloyd in the tournament, I'm going to do it. And John Gross, we know John Gross of Akron. When he's at the mid-majors, he's as good as anyone at the mid-major level. He's just not a high-end major coach. Nothing wrong with that. And Akron's been in the tournament a few times under Gross. I think this is the time they bust through and they upset Arizona. So
that would be a stunner. What does that 3-team money line parlay pay?
A shit ton. but yeah, that's what I got. I 3-13s and Lipscomb the 14. And then I have UC San Diego in the Sweet 16. But I don't, based off the line against Michigan, that is not going to be an unpopular opinion this week, Will.
Yeah, and you mentioned Wilmington. It was 2003. They were up late against Maryland about to pull an upset. I think Maryland beat them.
Oh, that was the Drew Nichols game.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I knew you'd remember.
Yeah, the year after Maryland won the title.
Yes. Yep, so it was 03. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a 5-12 game, and Drew Nichols dribbled the ball into oblivion and threw it in from the corner at the buzzer. Yeah.
Yep, I remember. It was a Friday night game. Absolutely. Yeah. Jeff, this should be fun, man. It's it all starts Tuesday. Oh, last one. Are Yankees season's over before it started?
No, because the American League is a joke. But you better bet those Red Sox futures when you had those numbers, Will. That's all I'll say. Because Boston is, and I know Baltimore is still there, but win a playoff game before I really respect you. The Red Sox are the team to beat in the American League, as ridiculous as that may have seemed to say about a month ago, but the AL runs through Boston right now, Will.
Jeff, appreciate it, man. A lot of fun. Sports by the book, when are you on?
We will be on at 10 a.m. Pacific every day. So, yeah, the games will start on Thursday or Friday, but we'll get you ready for the rest of the day and any in-game scenarios we may have.
All right. Always fun, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Of course.
All right. Appreciate you guys listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to Jeff Parles. We'll be back Wednesday with all the picks. See you then.